Podtacular, episode 417, Spring Cleaning, for April 6th, 2014.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And this week's podcast is arriving a little late because I've recently moved. And I'm not in my new place just yet. I'm still in my old place, and you can probably hear a slight echo in the recording for today. Echo. But, move went well. I'm in my new place. And coming up, it's going to be hopefully some changes coming to the podcast, be able to structure things a little bit better, maybe change some stuff for the live stream, for the podcast, and I have some new podcasting equipment coming in that I'm going to be using for PAX East as well, so some interesting stuff going on around here, but we have some news to talk about that we wanted to cover. It's going to be somewhat of a short show because it's a Sunday night and I am tired, as I'm sure Brent is as well.
I'm not that tired, actually.
No?
So this is going to be a weird show where Dusty's, like, extremely sleepy, and I'm just, you know, not any more energetic than I normally am. Just normally.
Well, then you're going to be the one that's going to be carrying the show, hopefully.
I'll try.
I'm going to be throwing out all the topics, and then we're going to hopefully rely on you for all the filler.
All of the flavor commentary.
Oh, yeah. So, first thing, just diving right into news this week, is we have a couple of things regarding Cortana come out. We have official confirmation that it's going to be coming out on Windows Phone 8.1, replacing the Windows search functionality, and it's going to be hitting beta here pretty soon, actually. What was it, GDC that just happened a few days ago, a week ago?
Yeah.
Is that the convention that's going on right now? Yeah. So there was some demos on Cortana, some of the capabilities, and then after the presentation, there were some videos that got released on Windows Phone's YouTube account and on Twitter as well. So we see some people showing off some of the features, showing off some Easter eggs, some Halo Easter eggs, which is kind of convenient with it being named Cortana and having some Halo fans probably jump on this, which is really cool. Frankie had one in there too, which was really nice to see him kind of endorsing that as well. We have kind of a good comparison between what Cortana is going to be with relationship to Siri and Google Now. So everyone pretty much knows what Siri is, I think, or at least I would hope. It's like the assistant on the iPhone, and Cortana is going to be pretty much the answer the rebuttal for Siri and Google Now for Windows Phone. So it looks pretty cool. Some of the power behind it, of course, it's powered by Bing, which is, I mean, it is a Microsoft product. It's kind of unfortunate because Google's a lot better, in my opinion. But needless to say, it does look pretty cool from all the demos and all the videos I've seen of people using it so far. Still not quite enough to convince me to get a Windows Phone. I'm a big Halo person, so kind of a Microsoft supporter, but I do have some requirements on apps that I would like to see before diving into a Windows Phone.
Right.
Some just like key apps that I would think would need to be standard across all smartphone platforms. Like, I don't think Windows has an official Instagram app yet. And there's a few other apps that I've searched for, and it's like, well, they're not really exist. Well, I take that back. I've searched for them on a Windows 8 computer and haven't seen some stuff. And I've like seen some other friends tweet about some similar experiences where there's just not enough apps yet out there to really compare to iOS apps, Android apps, and that kind of thing. Same thing actually is there for the BlackBerry too, but I mean, if you look at smartphone developers or really looking at iOS or Android, there's not much encouragement to really pursue Windows platform.
Yeah, in a way, isn't this kind of like an admission that the only people that have a Windows phone are like diehard Microsoft fans? Like, they're like, yeah, wanted Cortana done something else to be more inclusive, but, you know, here's something you would think is awesome. I mean, if this were anything else, you know, other than Cortana, like, if it were just their answer to Siri and it was some, like, random other fake AI that they've made up, I wouldn't care at all. The fact that it's Cortana is why this is interesting to me, at least. A lot more interesting than Siri as a concept. I like the idea of, you know, asking Cortana for Bing searches and things like that.
Yeah, and it's going to be voiced by Chin Taylor.
Yeah.
And we knew that for a while, but the voices that are used in a lot of these videos so far aren't Jen Taylor's voice at the moment. Actually, I was talking to Blue about it, Blue Amcat, about it over the last week. And she hasn't recorded any lines for it yet, but she is supposed to record some of it for the final release. So that's going to be cool. You actually get to hear some resemblance of Cortana talking to you for setting appointments or sending emails or text messages or all that good stuff.
They should pay Steve Downs to come in and do all of this voice work, too, so that you can choose between Cortana and Chief.
But Chief's not an AI. Chief's a human.
No. What if that's his future? Think about it. Cortana's an AI. What if he can turn into an AI using some sort of weird, you know, Forerunner technology? And then he can live with
Cortana. You mean the composer?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They know they have the composer technology. They can digitize him, so why can't he just, you know, digitize himself into, you know, wherever Cortana has fragmented herself, and they can live happily ever after in some sort of weird virtual world.
Maybe.
Although away I think from a lot the violence of the real world. It's plagued Chief since his childhood.
I think people tend to identify more with Cortana in that AI role.
Yeah,
just,
but I love
just Steve a Allen's hunch.
Voice. I mean, that Master Chief is great. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, he needs to do... what's the company that has the Darth Vader voice direction? Is that TomTom or Garmin?
I don't know.
I think it's TomTom. But have, like, do a Master Chief TomTom GPS navigation. That'd be pretty cool.
Turn left. Turn left now!
Well, it's just like...
I'm driving from now on.
I mean, in Reach, they had the firefight voices that you could use. Granted, it was, like, a very strict subset of lines that they read, but you could do something similar with just turn-by-turn directions for Garmin or TomTom.
Well, I remember they had GLaDOS on one of those GPS devices at some point. That was cool. From Portal?
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember that. That's right. I forgot about that. And yeah, isn't there a Yoda one, a Vader one, and then there's a few other ones as well that I'm not too, I guess, hyped about?
Yeah, but
or else I would probably remember them.
The cool thing about the GLaDOS one was it would lie to you.
Lie?
Yeah, it would lie. It would tell you the wrong chord or like the wrong directions to get to where you wanted to go.
That just like she lies in the game. Hilarious.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. But yeah, so Cortana is coming out for Windows Phone 8.1, I think pretty much across the board. I believe there's an article that we read on the show a little while ago where it was just going to be available on the Nokia Lumia. And it looks like it's going to be out on all Windows Phone 8.1 platforms.
No, yeah. I mean, nobody would get Cortana if it were just on that one phone. There's no reason to spend that much money and resources on that unless you're going to put it out on all of the Windows phones.
Well, it was going to be the beta was going to be on that phone only.
Yeah.
But it looks like the beta is going to be expanding across all phones, all Windows Phone 8.1s. Cool. So that's some pretty cool information for those of you that have Windows phones. The only person I know for sure that has a Windows phone is Green Skull. And I think a couple of the Waypoint crew or the 343 industry guys, I think, may have Windows Phone 7s or Windows Phone 8s. Other than that, though, I'm honestly not sure who else has one that I know of.
I can see this probably pushing some people to get some Windows phones. Like, if they didn't want one before and they were looking for a new phone, like, I could see that maybe being a feature that would
I could definitely see that too.
Direction. If you're just a huge Halo fan.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Cortana's eventually supposed to come to iOS too, though.
Yeah. Coming to Zune.
Oh, gosh.
That was the worst decision I ever made. It was just terrible. I mean, it wasn't a bad device. It was just nobody had one, so you couldn't use the community features that entire device was made around.
I have a friend from work who still has a Zune.
Well, you can trade songs with him if you have your own Zune. Wirelessly.
Yeah, I never got one. I had an iPod.
Yeah.
That was one of those.
You chose correctly.
Yeah, that was the one that decided to stick. It's funny because
I mean, the original Zune was thick. That was a pretty heavy device. I mean, it wasn't as big as the original iPod, but
yeah, Microsoft's still never been really great at hardware, and I think they just got really lucky with the Xbox 360 because it's a for a Microsoft product, it's a pretty good piece of hardware.
Yeah,
Xbox One on the other hand, I'm really on the fence about the Xbox One right now because it has so many problems. And I honestly think with some of the stuff that's happened recently to me, that the console was not ready for prime time last November.
Oh yeah, but I'm saying that was our first venture into console gaming. Sega and Nintendo, or not
the
Sega,
Xbox
Sony
One?
And Nintendo.
No, I'm talking about the
Xbox
One.
Oh no, I thought you were literally meant the Xbox One. I just call it the X-Bone to avoid confusion. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's the original Xbox, Xbox 360, and Xbox One.
Yeah, it was. I know what you're saying.
No, I'm talking about that the Xbox. Like the, I'm talking about the Xbox One wasn't ready.
I'm just saying, like original Xbox, a lot of people thought that wasn't ready. Like a lot of people thought that was kind of a bad device, and it was bulky and loud.
But it did start a good generation of gaming for Microsoft.
Yeah, yeah, I mean that was.
I mean,
first
Halo. We're talking about. Halo still, and that came on the original Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, that revolutionized first-person shooters in a way.
And well, I mean, it brought them onto the console, which is a big deal. I mean, that's where most people play first-person shooters now, but...
Yeah. Well...
I mean, it's important.
I kind of think of Halo as kind of the advent of first-person shooters as it stands today. Now, granted, I haven't really played much anything else on other platforms before the Xbox, really. In terms of first-person shooters, I know there was GoldenEye with those clunky controls.
Oh, yeah. You had to use the crazy D buttons, or the C pad buttons.
The C buttons, and then So, a lot of people say that helped define some of the modern day first-person shooters. And I agree, there was some very key things that you could take away from that from a first-person shooter perspective on consoles. But I think Halo just took it to the next level.
Oh, yeah.
And I never played PlayStation, so if there were first-person shooters on PlayStation or PlayStation 2 at the time that helped define it, then I'm completely ignorant of those.
Yeah, I'm not... There weren't a whole lot of real popular PS1 or PS2 first-person shooters. I'm sure that some PS fan is screaming right now, like his favorite
Probably.
Game from that era, but there really weren't. It was mostly it had a wide variety of different games, but did not first-person shooters. It was definitely it was aimed at a Japanese audience as well as a Western audience, whereas the Xbox was a very Western device. It appealed to Western tastes, and it never took off in Japan. To this day, they still can't sell Xboxes in Japan. I think the Xbox One did a little bit better than the Xbox 360. Just a little bit, though.
You mean like in terms of first day sale, or like...
Yeah, like just
initial
overall,
sales?
Yeah, initial sales and sales after that. Like, it's non-existent. I mean, there are people over there that played the Xbox. And those fans are like super hardcore about it, but there's not a whole bunch of them, especially, you know, in contrast to the massive Nintendo and Sony fan bases in Japan.
Right, and Sony is just killing it right now.
Oh, yeah.
They're having a hard time just keeping consoles on the shelves.
Well, I remember even before the PS4 came out, though, they were all talking about how Sony was, you know, on the ropes. Sony, as an entire company, was going down, and first thing they were going to cut was the Sony Computer Entertainment division. And, I mean, the PS4
is
outperforming.
We've heard similar stories about that in Microsoft's realm, too.
Yeah, I'm saying all of them are always going out all the time. I mean, yeah. Nintendo, Iwata's been threatening to resign for, like, 5 years now. I kind of wish he would just do it. Like, I love Iwata, but just quit threatening to resign unless you're going to do it. There's no honor in, you know, sitting there and when your numbers aren't up. I mean, if you want to leave, just leave. But quit saying you're going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if Reggie Fils-Aimé is still president of Nintendo of America. I think he is.
You would probably know more so than I would.
Yeah, he was a big deal back in the 2006, 2007 E3s, I think, where he was the main kind of presenter, you know, MC for Nintendo's press conferences. And
well, that'd be about the time of the Wii, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They actually, now that I think about it, he made the phrase before Certain Affinity put it on the T-shirt, I'm Reggie, and I'm about kicking ass and taking names, and Nintendo is about making games or something. That was a pretty famous Reggie quote. Now he's president of Nintendo of America, so yeah, okay. He obviously went somewhere. He's making some big bucks, but he was real popular because he kind of put this fierce face on Nintendo, you know, generally a company people thought were, you know, kiddie oriented, and now this guy is coming out, yeah, I'm kicking I'll take your name and then I'm gonna kick your ass afterwards.
Interesting. Weird. I had
weird
no
bit
idea.
Of gaming history.
I had no idea.
Yep. But that's not Halo at all. We should move on to something Halo related because this is a Halo related podcast.
Well, you tied it in Halo related, making it Certain Affinity, which is Halo related.
Yeah.
They did make a few map packs for Halo.
Max Hoberman, one of the guys that started that studio, was I think he was the multiplayer lead on Halo 2.
Cool.
So I'm saying they have a lot of connection there. Like, Certain Affinity and Halo go hand in hand. Like, the entire reason they got Certain Affinity to do those map packs for Halo 2 and eventually Halo 3 and, you know, making... Did they work on Halo CE Anniversary? Like, at all?
Certain Affinity? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They did it, right?
They pretty much did the whole thing.
Yeah, so I'm saying they have deep Halo connections.
Oh, yeah. And they actually go back... they did the maps for the last Halo 2 DLC, the Hang'em High remake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was right after Max Hoberman left.
And Desolation? Is that it? I think so.
Yeah, Desolation. That was a weird map. I didn't like that one. The Hang'em High remake was kind of cool.
The Hang'em High remake
was around
cool.
To play it. Everybody had moved on to Xbox 360.
It would have been nice if they moved those two maps over to the PC side of things.
Yeah. Speaking of Halo games on the PC, Dustin, something terrible's happening to Halo on PC.
Well, and it's not just Halo, but yeah, we are getting some side effects of some certain actions.
Well, the only game I care about that was affected by this is Halo. GameSpy, old game site from the, you know, the early 90s and the before the tech boom even. They're closing their doors after, you know, however many decades they've been around, like 2.5.
I have no idea. They've been around for a while, though.
Their absence will put a void in the Halo community because they run the Halo PC servers.
Well, it's not quite true.
Well, yeah, they run the official servers. But I assume
there are no official servers. So here's what the breakdown actually is. So GameSpy, the service, is basically something that is built into the game, so servers will broadcast out to this service, GameSpy, and say, here, I'm a server for Halo. And GameSpy is shutting down effective May 31st of this year, so basically in 2 months. And with that, the online server browser is going away.
You know, so basically, you can still play online, you just can't browse for servers.
Correct. You have to be able to know what the IP or the URL of the server that you want to connect to is. That's the only way you would be able to get on a game of Halo now.
But I assume that the server browser was a great tool for people who just wanted to look for a game and start playing instantly.
Oh, definitely.
I haven't played Halo PC online, even though I have a PC capable of it with it installed right now, but... yeah, it's always sad when you see services come down. But it's also nice to know that there are games out there that don't require services to be able to play online. You can still do it. You just can't browse for games. Now, nowadays, I mean, there are like games where if the servers get shut off, the entire game goes offline until people can figure out a way around it or whatever.
Yeah.
Especially on consoles, like... certain console servers, I mean, especially now that, I mean, the Xbox One has made kind of central servers, like, just basically having information on a server that they own to actually play the games that you have that are single player, because they're combining multiplayer with single player, it's just getting convoluted. So in theory, a lot of the games that you're playing on Xbox One today, you won't be able to play in, you know, 2 decades from now.
I don't know. I think we're starting to really get to a point where some of the services will help transition over. And we are kind of entering a finicky phase of gaming in the sense that we've never really had this online capability until the last couple generations of consoles. So we've already seen Nintendo do stuff where they've brought up older titles through downloadable means, through their marketplace channels.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying those games don't require an internet connection to, like, basically just play the game. I mean, all of those old games are completely self-sufficient. They don't require any internet service. Like, things like Destiny are made specifically to connect to the internet.
Yeah. And I think I think the only point when games get taken off is when the population for them is so low that it doesn't justify keeping servers up for them.
Yeah. And then you have this issue where you have to make your own servers, basically. I know that World of Warcraft had a problem with private servers for a long time because people didn't want to have to, you know, pony up the $15 a month, so they just start their own private servers. I mean, all those got shut down eventually, but if you think about it, eventually that game is going to be complete. Oh, well, I take that back. World of Warcraft is probably going to be around, you know, until, I don't know, I'm 50, 60 years old.
Yeah, who knows how long the game's going to be around for.
Those servers, I mean, that's a landmark, massively multiplayer online game. I mean, that's the one that started the entire trend, you know.
Well, it's been around for how long?
It didn't start the trend, but it blew it up. I mean, it's been around since 2005.
Wow.
I mean, it's not that old. It's only like 9 years old, but it's still in a landmark title. It's a landmark title.
We've been doing the podcast for 8.5 years. That's pretty old. Actually, yeah. No, 8.75 years. Wow. Wow. Holy crap.
So, yeah, I'm not affected by, you know, GameSpy shutting down, but I assume that there are people out there that enjoy the file browser and server browser, and now they're losing it, so I feel bad for them.
It's quite unfortunate.
Yeah. But there's nothing you can do about it. Except,
I want to say...
Well, there is something you can do about it, but...
Well, there's a workaround for it, essentially. There's nothing that you can really do to replace a server browser. But I want to say, I think there's a couple other websites out there that have kind of cataloged Halo servers.
Yeah.
I think there's a spot somewhere on halocustoms.org that has a server listing. It's not a browser, but it's just a listing. And we may start to see some of those kind of like database things be a little more prevalent when it comes to finding servers.
Yeah.
But I am just like through the whole move and stuff going to see if we can set up a server to have some gameplay on it before this goes down. But something else that's kind of related to this too, which we touched on, I think a couple of weeks ago, don't remember when exactly it was, but Games for Windows Live is shutting down a month later. So on July 1st of this year, that's shutting down. So we're going to have a couple of Halo 2 nights on the PC while we still can. The whole implications of Games for Windows Live shutting down is still a little bit unknown. I need to actually get with Bravo and see what the implications are of both of these services shutting down and see how that's going to affect Halo on the PC. There is some speculation with Spartan Assault coming to Steam, or it's actually on Steam now, that we may see some other Halo titles come to the Steam platform. Maybe. If they brought Halo 1 onto Steam and have Steam be the management for the server browser, that'd be pretty cool. Kind of revitalize that. And I think if Halo were to get on Steam, I think some people would probably go out and buy it, to be honest. I don't know how many people. It would probably be a very small population, but I could see people buying Halo on Steam.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just put it on Steam, get people playing old school Halo. I'm always up for that. You know, I mean, anytime you can get... I mean, it would even appeal
nostalgia
to an entire brand new set of people who may have never played Halo because they just didn't want to, or they didn't have an Xbox and they didn't want to buy an Xbox. And now they have access to Halo 1 multiplayer. You know, I mean, it was a multiplayer craze. That's the whole point of Halo 1. I mean, the story's great. People love that. Everybody loves single player. But Halo became popular because of the multiplayer.
Yes.
It became as insanely popular as it is today. I mean,
To a certain audience, it did. I know quite a few people who play Halo strictly for the campaign.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that those people don't exist. I'm saying that if you were to look at why Halo became so popular so quickly among, you know, so many teenagers and young adults, it was because of the competitive multiplayer aspect of it.
I would agree that it has a lot of influence for it. Yes,
I'm saying a lot of games have great single player and they're fantastic, and that's the end of it. I mean, that's a great game. I mean, you look at things Oh yeah, I mean that's great. But I'm saying those games don't necessarily make their franchise blow up in popularity. I mean, sometimes they do. Sometimes there's games like Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time that completely revived interest in the Zelda franchise after kind of a lull after Link to the Past.
You can kind of split up gaming titles in regards of like people wanting to really engage with the story and see what game creators have to say. And it's almost like writing a book or a movie in a sense when you focus on a single player game like that. And then when you focus on a multiplayer game, something like Titanfall or Call of Duty or some other games that are more leaned towards just the multiplayer side, then that's a kind of separate audience that you're really trying to attract.
Oh yeah, Halo has to play a very
Halo has to go for dangerous. All of them.
They have to play a weird balancing act of making sure that the single player and the multiplayer are both fantastic.
Yeah,
and I think that's what a lot of other games don't have to really deal with. They could choose one or the other, but I mean, they're either really great with multiplayer and the single player kind of sucks, or the single player is great and multiplayer sucks. Halo has to do everything to make sure that both the single player and the multiplayer are top notch. So,
yeah, it's no easy feat.
No, it's not. At first I used to hate 343, you know, irrationally. I think it was just a period of transition from Bungie, you know. I mean, it's like breaking up with your ex. You know, I love Bungie, but they're gone now.
Well, I mean, I was on the wagon of Halo should have died with Bungie. I was on that bandwagon for a while.
I didn't think it should have died, but I didn't know if 343 was up to the task. And I was definitely resentful that they were the new kind of people that owned it, because I didn't think that they could live up to Bungie's legacy. And
they haven't done that yet.
But I'm saying they're getting there. They're working towards their own legacy, you know? I mean, if you try to fight trying to be Bungie, I mean, they'll never be Bungie. 343 is never, ever, ever, ever going to be Bungie, because they don't have the Bungie member. I mean, the studio is a unique thing. I mean, there's a bunch of different video game studios out there. Every single one of them put out completely different games.
Well, it's
completely
just like
different style of games.
It's just like every artist has their own personality.
Yeah. And I think that was kind of a fear with this, was that it wasn't like artists anymore. Like Bungie, that studio feels like a very artistic studio. I mean, reading the thing from Gagnon 30, that's the screen name, right?
Yeah.
I was just making sure it was Gagnon 30 and not like Gagnon 75 or something. I'd said the wrong one. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I just make sure I got it right.
Nope, that's right.
An article from Andrew Gagnon, basically writing about how people in the Halo community had complained too much about what they wanted from Halo 4, to the point where Halo 4 was kind of a death by committee thing by the end of it, after all the patches and stuff. And I kind of see where he's coming from. You know, when you're making a game, you don't want to have to just make what everybody wants you to make. You want to make your own thing. When you're an artist and you're at the canvas, I mean, sometimes you get commissioned for stuff. But generally, when you're just free painting, you want to make what you want to make. You know, what's from your imagination. And I think 343, initially, one of the big problems they made is maybe giving the community a little bit too much input, which I can kind of see now. I mean, at some point, you have to kind of reel in community input and start making your own stuff, you know, putting out your own things and seeing what fits.
I think a lot of people, though, were very hesitant about doing loadouts in the first place. I think in some regards, and not to bash Gagnon's article, but I think in some regards, 343 listened to the community, and in some regards, they looked at gaming as a whole and see what was successful in other franchises and tried to adapt that into their franchise. So I wouldn't put full blame on the community for some of the stuff that happened with Halo 4. I think it's a mix of some of the stuff that we asked for and some of the stuff that 343 tried to go out and see what was successful for other games and try to integrate that. But you can't really integrate something from other games into your game that easily. Now, things like Sprint, those are becoming more standard across all types of first-person shooters, so something like that's okay. But loadouts is very finicky. I know it's in Battlefield and Call of Duty.
Yeah.
But it's a very finicky thing, and it fits a very specific kind of gameplay style. One that works very well for Battlefield because it's a squad-based shooter, and you do have to focus on working as a team because you can't just pull out any one weapon and expect to do very well on your own. That's just how Battlefield is designed. So it works well for Battlefield, but for Call of Duty, it's just very frustrating.
Well, for me, it was always kind of the difference between something like, you know, Magic the Gathering and chess. I mean, chess is the same every time. You don't go in, you don't customize chess. And to me, that's why I enjoy Halo. Like, you couldn't customize your loadout. I mean, at the time, I mean, there was nothing like customizing your first-person shooter loadout. So, I mean, there was nothing to compare it to. But it was a very fair and balanced game because you had, everybody's got the same stuff. Everybody spawns with the same stuff. You know, everybody runs at the same speed. Everybody's the same height. The armor really doesn't matter that much. There was some complaints about elites in Halo 2. And Halo 3 having different hitboxes or something. It was, even though they didn't, it was weird. But, I mean, generally everything's fair, you know. Everybody starts out with the same stuff. Weapons spawn on the map, and everybody has the same access to those weapons. I mean, if there's a weapon on one side of the field, it almost always shows up on the other side of the field in the same place. The Halo 4 took a lot of that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to customize it. I mean, Magic the Gathering, you can customize your deck any way you want to. You can go in with any kind of deck you want. I mean, you have to build a certain way to be successful at all.
But the building is the strategy in that, whereas for Halo, the strategy is knowing the maps and knowing the flow of the map and knowing where people are going to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's more like chess, you know. I mean,
yeah.
You know everything about the field. You know everything about the board. Every piece does the exact same thing. Like, you know, a knight doesn't change its moves, you know, halfway through the game. You can't upgrade your knight. You can't have a knight that can move diagonally like a bishop. I mean, everything's the same, and you can base your strategy around that because you have an understanding of what everybody's capable of. And that's why Halo was fun for me competitively, because I know everybody had the same... I mean, especially in Halo 2, everybody had the same stuff all the time. Everybody had a BR. You know, if you found something on the map that was good for you, you got there first, you deserve it. Personal ordnance was a big no-no in Halo 4 that they kind of pulled back from because they realized it was kind of lame, you know, just all of a sudden, because I'm better than you at Halo, I get a rocket launcher. You know what I mean?
Or you're the best on the team and all you get is plasma grenades, speed boost, and overshield.
Yeah, it's just kind of lame, you know. You're either getting screwed over or you're way overpowered. It just ain't fun. So, I mean, for me, making Halo better would be to just kind of make sure everything's equal. I mean, the Sprint, I don't really care about Sprint that much because everybody's got Sprint. Everybody, you know, they're on the map, they all have Sprint. You know, you got Sprint.
It is kind of a natural progression for, I think, the game.
Yeah, personally. But I mean, I don't have to worry about it, you know, some dude spawning with something completely different, you know, you blow up a warthog and then you see him eject out of the seat. You expected him to die, but they had the survivor mod. It's just kind of annoying. And I understand that was a choice they had to make, but I like to understand all of the game mechanics and understand what's going to happen when I, you know, blow you up or do something. It is just more fair and it makes for a more fun competitive game, in my opinion.
It's more intuitive that way when you have people go in and try to learn from a one-on-one experience like that.
And when they see someone just not die, it's like, oh, well, this doesn't quite make sense.
And I mean, there's ways to shut down, you know, user customization in Halo 4. You can have set loadouts and stuff that people have to choose that one.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like it. They just completely ruin the entire game. I think that's where a lot of people, you know, go wrong. They think that the customization just completely changed it. And, I mean, it's not really the level of customization you see in, like, Call of Duty or, I mean, I've never even played it, but Titanfall.
But if you look at how it affects the gameplay with Halo, when Halo's traditionally been the more balanced kind of experience, it really has a big impact. And we've seen that happen with Halo 4, and that's why a lot of people don't like some of the things that were introduced into the game and want to see it taken out for the next Halo title.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people are always going to want different things out of popular game franchises. You know, I mean, look at Zelda fans. Some people hated Legend of Zelda: The Wind Waker. That game was completely different aesthetically. There were a lot of different gameplay features, more worried about. It actually had physics in that game to an extent, and they could use those for puzzles. A lot of people weren't used to the physics puzzles. Just a lot of different things in Wind Waker. But personally, Legend of Zelda: The Wind Waker is my favorite game. I like it better than Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time or Link to the Past, any of them. Like, just out of all of them, even with the weird aesthetic, I love that aesthetic. I love the art direction in that game. Like, it was just different. But they can do that because it's single player, you know? I mean, if you miss with single player, it's whatever. I mean, this is something that people have to play over and over and over again all day long. You know, people play Halo multiplayer for hundreds and hundreds of hours, you know, between days. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It goes into the days. Like, if you checked how much time I've probably put into Halo since Halo 2, it's probably been like, I don't know, like 150 days total.
I bet there's someone out there that's played Halo for a total of a year.
Yeah.
Total game time in Halo, a year.
Yeah. You'd basically have to play one out of every, 15, or we'll go since Halo 2. One out every 10 days, literally.
I would have to do the math, but it would take some effort. You'd have to be like really into Halo in order to get that kind of time clocked in.
You'd have to play 24 hours of Halo in a 10-day period since Halo 2.
Hmm. Did you do that math, or?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'm probably wrong, but I think I'm right.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, no, you can check. I think I'm right.
No, you're probably right. I'm too tired right now. I'm too tired right now to do the math.
10 years since Halo 2.
Yeah.
To get a year, you'd have to have a tenth of that time. So one out of every 10 days since Halo 2.
Oh.
But so 24 hours out of every 10-day period.
Okay. So that's 2.4 hours a day, every day. That's not that bad, actually. That's doable.
I'm probably wrong on this math, and I hope that somebody sends in an explanation of this.
I'll probably calculate it tomorrow or something when I'm actually more cohesive or coherent.
Even when I'm coherent.
Cohesive? What the heck? Where did cohesive come from?
It kind of works.
I'm cohesive. Anyways. Next piece of news that we have is something from one of our friends that we haven't talked to about in a while, but they're still around. They're doing pretty well, but Team Beyond, or Beyond Entertainment, is hosting a Spring Showdown, which is a small Halo 4 1v1 tournament that they're running, and it starts on April 26th, and what you have to do to enter is just sign up on the forums, and then go over and post that you're interested. And there's a certain thread that you can check out, and we'll have a link in the show description when the show gets posted. You're probably hearing this, so it's already posted. No live show this week. But yeah, so it's going to be from 3 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, April 26th, for the matches. And the prize pool for the winners is a Polk Melee headset, Photos Armor, Arctic BR, Deadeye Helmet Unlock, and a Titanfall Prima Guide for digital downloads. That's your first place prize. Second place is going to be Halo, The Art of Building Worlds.
with 343 signatures and the Arctic BR skin. The Art of Building Worlds book is actually pretty cool. I've thumbed through some of the pages. I haven't had a chance to really dig into some of the details, but it's a really, really cool looking book. And then the third place prize is Forward Unto Dawn on Blu-ray. So if you want more information with some of the rules, requirements, and how the bracket's going to be going down, head on over to teambeyond.net and visit our friends over there. Really cool guys. We're probably going to have them on the show for some of our Halo 5 discussions, but check them out. They have some very active forums. It is kind of more towards the competitive side of Halo, so you will get some of the competitive edge and some of the not-so-friendly banter over there, but they are... the guys that run TeamBeyond.net, they're very passionate about Halo, so it's cool to see that they're still trying to keep tournaments and keep prize-winning stuff going through the downtime of we don't really have any company out there doing competitive Halo. So
you need to donate some signed autographed pictures of yourself to the prize pools.
I'm not sure if I'm as popular as having 343 signatures on stuff. I can tell you I'm not as popular as having 343 signed stuff.
I'm just saying, it'd be a good donation.
Maybe. Next up on the docket for news is something that has really hit the streets pretty big for Halo. Everyone's speculating that it could possibly turn into a Halo movie, but there was an announcement earlier this week that Ridley Scott, the actor behind, or not, sorry, not the actor, the director behind, was it Aliens?
Yep, Alien.
Yeah. So... and also Blade Runner. So if you guys have know what those movies are.
I actually like Blade Runner better than Alien. Just saying. Just putting it out there. Even though Halo stole a whole bunch of, like, Marines. I mean, they stole it from both Battleship Troopers. Starship Troopers and Alien.
Really?
They took the assault rifle from Alien. They took the assault rifle from Alien and the Marine helmet. And Marine outfit from Starship Troopers, I think. Also, they got the radio or the radar from Alien. And the idea of the Flood is kind of based on Alien.
I did not know there was that much resemblance between Halo and another movie.
Oh, the radar is like a straight ripoff, man. I mean, it was just an homage, if you will. it got a lot from Alien. So the Ridley Scott connection is not just some sort of weird coincidence. Ridley Scott knew about Halo, it was because he knew that Halo, you know, borrowed a lot of his ideas from Alien.
Interesting. Yeah. I had no idea. Well, now I feel like I need to go watch Alien, even though I didn't really have any intent to ever watching it.
Yeah, no, it's actually a pretty good movie. I mean, especially if you like Halo and you're you'll see the Halo references and giggle. You'll be like, yeah, that's from Halo!
Or see the references that Halo ripped off Aliens.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay. But anyways, to the news portion of this story, Ridley Scott is going to be the director on a new digital feature project based on Halo. This is going to be separate from the one that Steven Spielberg is working on for the Halo TV series. So a lot of people are kind of jumping on board with the idea that this may be a Halo movie. Digital feature project doesn't quite solely identify it as a movie. It does have a lot of emphasis on saying it would be a movie, but at this point, we're really not sure. It is kind of interesting, though, that we have two different digital video projects being pursued at this point in time.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird. I'm actually more excited about the Ridley Scott thing because I enjoy Ridley Scott movies. I mean, as far as Blade Runner and Alien go. So, you know, if the guy that inspired Halo, you know, I assume that he can make a good Halo movie. Maybe. Possibly.
I don't think so.
He can obviously direct sci-fi stuff. So, I mean, there's a very special sort of director that can make a good sci-fi. It's not for everybody.
Interesting. Well, the article that I'm reading from is the one that IGN posted, and there's a little more information saying that the thing that Ridley Scott's working on is going to be similarly on the lines of how Forward Into Dawn was done. So we would see kind of a film maybe done in the sense that it's broken up and then it's recompiled like Forward Into Dawn was. But we don't exactly know what it's going to be yet. I hesitate to say movie just because when asked if they were working on a movie kind of thing back a couple months ago, maybe back as far as February, I think, when they were asked about it, they said there weren't any efforts on working on a movie at the time. And digital feature, while it kind of has a theatrical connotation to it, it's not necessarily something that's going to be a movie to be put out in theaters. So it'd be interesting to see a Halo movie, and I've talked about some, or toying with some ideas of what we would do for a Halo movie, if it would have to be about the Chief, or if it would be about the UNSC or Oni. It's a very delicate balance of how would you make that kind of movie for, especially for Halo, with how vast and how big that the franchise is. There's so much stuff that you could cover with a movie, but then again, people want to kind of see Chief interact with the main storyline, or at least have some kind of FaceTime in there.
I want a slice of life sitcom set in the civilian life of just some random guy in UNSC controlled space. You know, just chilling, being a civilian, like he ain't in the UNSC. Like him and his family are just like surviving out there, floating around, enjoying life in space.
That'd be interesting. That would sound like something that, honestly, that would sound like something you would find in Halo Legends.
Like, I just like, I mean, I'm saying they would never make something like that, but I always like stories that show the world that the UNSC is trying to protect, you know? I mean, you see all these battles and stuff, like the UNSC's fighting, but what are they fighting for? What are you protecting, you know? Why are you doing this? What is worth saving?
Yeah, seeing it in terms of the common folk.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But we'll keep you guys apprised of more information as this comes out. This was kind of leaked before by that one NeoGAF leaker, the one that also said Halo 2 Anniversary was coming out this year and Halo 5 is coming out next year and a lot of other rumors as well. So if those rumors are true, it's going to be the Ridley Scott thing is going to turn out to be some kind of feature-length film thing or other. Whether they break it up beforehand like they did with Forward Into Dawn, I guess it would be a possibility. But I don't know. The idea of a movie, just with how 343's position is right now with Halo, doesn't exactly seem like the best time to do a movie. I would say you want to have a little bit more loyal base for Halo, but that's just me personally.
To be honest, and
I'm not a marketer
just,
like that. So
I think it's not going to be a movie. It's just going to be a live action spot for Halo 5.
I think so, too. I mean, if it is a movie, more power to them. But I think with the current state of Halo, a Halo movie just would not be the right thing to do right now.
No.
Microsoft has some work that needs to get done before a Halo movie should even be really thought about in great detail, in my opinion.
But after Halo 3 did the Believe campaign...
Oh, that stuff was amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, their promotional stuff. I mean, if you were going to make a Halo movie, it would have to be along that kind of caliber of what Bungie did to promote Halo 3.
But after that, I mean, that won so many awards in marketing and won so much just acclaim in, you know, gaming communities that didn't even like Halo thought that was cool. You know, I mean, they've been doing that ever since. And they're not going to stop now. That's why I think it's just. Ridley Scott is working on a live-action short, kind of like Forward Unto Dawn, maybe a little shorter, maybe a little longer, I don't know, but something like that for Halo 5's release.
Yeah.
And that seems like something you'd do.
It's funny that we kind of bring that up, because I've been listening to the Halo 3 soundtrack recently for some reason, and I meant to tweet this today, I haven't tweeted it yet, but the trailer for Halo 3 is probably one of the most noted gaming trailers of the Xbox 360's lifespan. Like, it was very high up there with really getting people hooked onto the idea of Halo 3.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens with Ridley Scott. We'll see what kind of content that he puts out, but good luck to you, Mr. Scott.
whatever you're working on over there, we're assuming it's going to be some good entertainment, no matter what the content is. But I think we're gonna do as part of our Halo 5 shows. I want to do a show based on Machinima and the whole idea behind doing a Halo movie. And I think I want to get Cruel Legacy on there, Damian Lacedaemon, and a couple other people that have done Machinima in the past. Operation Chastity, if I can get those folks on. And there's a couple other big Halo project, movie/Machinima projects that have happened that would like to get on the show for that kind of thing. So we'll see how that turns out. And they'll talk about the potential for a Halo movie and more of the TV series stuff that could be coming with Ridley Scott and the TV thing that's coming with Steven Spielberg, because that's supposed to be coming out this year too.
Yep.
So, and finally, last but not least for this week, we have the Halo Bulletin. So this one's a little bit outdated because of when we're recording this. So kind of bear with us here. This weekend was March Madness. So in accordance of what they told us about last week, they made a Ricochet court specifically designed to kind of get that basketball feel. I haven't played this yet. It's called Ricochet Rebound. And I'm hoping to at least play it a couple times tomorrow. Actually, my Xbox is packed up, so I don't think I'll be able to play it.
We need to get somebody to
somebody needs to go play it, save the game type, and then we can use it for Wacky Wednesday.
Yeah, just save it, and we'll do it then.
Why don't you do that for us, Brent?
my Xbox Live Gold's out. I've got to find a two-day code.
I got a two-day code for you.
Wacky Wednesday.
I got a two-day code for you.
But I didn't want to blow it until Wednesday.
Oh, I may have 1 month somewhere.
No, I'm saying I don't need another one for tonight. I'm just saying I want to wait till Wednesday when I know that people will be coming to our party for some wacky Halo 4 action.
Wacky, wacky customs. Yay!
Every week. Just about every week. Almost every single week on Wednesday, we all gather to play custom games that are just fun. You know, not necessarily just... I mean, we really don't play many serious customs. It's just fun stuff like hog-related game types.
Hog, Flood, King of the Hill related things. It's a lot of fun. If you're looking for some fun customs, if you're looking for kind of a release from real life and come play Halo to not be so serious, then this is a good place for you to just come and chill.
You know, sometimes you're playing Halo, it's just so stressful, man. It's hard playing Halo.
It can be.
You know, you're out there, it's rough. You know, after a hard day of Halo, you might want to just come in and play some, you know,
I've raged at Halo. I've punched my table because of Halo sometimes.
Yeah, I have too. It'll get frustrated. Definitely. But yeah, we'll probably play some Ricochet Rebound this Wednesday if we can find somebody to actually save the map and game type.
I'm betting Godzilla's probably already done it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Also, you have to listen to Space Jam while you're playing. It's mandatory.
Oh, like, gosh.
Every time I play this map and game type, I will be listening to Space Jam. So I'm just saying, if you're playing with me and I can't hear you, it's because I'm jamming.
He's jamming the Space Jam. So we'll try to play this on Wednesday with Wacky Wednesday and see how well it goes.
It's literally a Space Jam, Dusty. I mean, look at the map.
It is. You're right. It's on impact, and it's out in the middle of space. Space Jam.
It's even more of a Space Jam than Space Jam was.
So for the map and the game type on here, doing the game type, because I actually don't. Well, I guess the map's just called Ricochet Rebound, but it's made by Hobo Itchy. And the loadouts are as follows. It's primary weapon, scatter shots, or shotgun with a sticky detonator, secondary weapon. Score to wins, 15 points. Time limits, 10 minutes. A throw is worth 1 point. A dunk, or getting it into the hoop, is 2 points. Ball reset time, 15 seconds. Automatic pickup is enabled, and the respawn timer is 3 seconds.
I don't know how I feel about that sticky detonator.
By the time you're listening to this, it probably is already over, but we're going to try to play it on Wacky Wednesday. So if you missed it, come join us on Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. A little sub-promotion right there for you.
Yeah. Cross-promotion. You know, talk about the bulletin, talk about the Wacky Wednesdays.
Wacky Wednesday.
we have Squad DLC out this week as well, or technically last week when you're listening to this. Still haven't gotten to play it yet. I want to play it before it's out. I'll probably be able to play a little bit of it in Boston when I'm there for PAX. That's coming up this weekend, by the way. For the next playlist that's coming around, though, is going to be Proving Grounds. And we have... we're going to have an update to Proving Grounds. It's not the next playlist, but we're going to have an update. Right now, it was Slayer, and I believe the one that was voted last time was... What was it? Extraction? What was the community choice poll?
Oh, yeah, it was it. Was it Extraction?
I think it was. It was Slayer, which they were having in there by default, and then there was another option. I think it was Extraction.
I was berated for critiquing the community choice.
I don't think it was just you.
As it is my job to do so.
Whatever
the community chooses, that's fine. That's their choice. I mean, that's the entire point of a democracy, is that if you get the most votes, you win, no matter what the other guy voted for.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just a fact that almost every single time I dislike the most is the one they pick.
So let's be honest, though. Let's be honest. Do you vote? Because I certainly don't vote.
It's not even a real community poll because, I mean, it's not the entire Halo community. It's just like the Waypoint community, which is a smaller subsect of the Halo community.
Right.
And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying that I don't vote. I just talk about it because every single week they always pick the one that I didn't think they would pick or the one that I just dislike the most.
Or on the odd occasion they actually do pick it, it's like, are you sure about this?
Like, this one's actually fun. Like, I enjoy Capture the Flag, King of the Hill, and Oddball.
Yes.
But out of those three, I dislike Oddball the most, so obviously Oddball's going to win. they will choose Oddball.
We will see how accurate your prediction is next week, I guess.
Also because Oddball shows up less, just in general, than the other ones? Sometimes you get King of the Hill, sometimes you get Capture the Flag, but don't generally get Oddball very often. It's kind of
I guess you're right.
In Halo 4.
Yeah, I'm thinking about all the different encounters I had. I think you're kind of right on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy Oddball. It's not a bad game type. It's just out of those three, it's the one I enjoy the least.
Play ball.
If I could actually just pick any of those three, you know, actually considering the fact that I haven't played Oddball much in Halo 4, I might pick Oddball. So, yeah, take that community. It's the one I like best this week. You're going to have to go with King of the Hill.
Oh, boy. I don't know. Capture the Flag in Halo 4 just doesn't seem to have the energy as it has had in the past games.
Yeah.
Especially in something like Halo 2 and Halo 3, where there were tense moments about getting the flag and being able to stop a flag capture, where in Halo 4 it's just like, eh. It's either or how the heck did they get the flag in the first place? And how'd they get it that far? So, that's, but yeah, with the Proving Grounds choice for the next update for that playlist, like Brent says, Capture the Flag, King of the Hill, and Oddball. So go to the Waypoint, make your vote. They're kind of actually addressing the Spartan Ops playlist in this week's bulletin. I don't think we've seen a Spartan Ops, playlist addressed in a while. I can't remember the last time when they actually changed it up. But, and we actually forgot to mention this, so we'll mention it now. But in light of Rooster Teeth's 11th anniversary and the teaser trailer for their 12th season of Red vs. Blue, Waypoint is updating their Spartan Ops playlist to feature some of the Red vs. Blue Easter eggs. So it's going to be Episode 1, Chapter 5, Core. Episode 2, Chapter 5, Gagarin. I always say that wrong. Episode 3, Chapter 4, Shootout in Valhalla. Episode 4, Chapter 2, Rally Point. And Episode 5, Chapter 5, Spartan Thorn. And for those of you who don't know, the Rooster Teeth Easter eggs are the things where you shoot the little radio boxes, and then at some point later on in that mission, you will hear Red versus Blue characters come over the radio to replace some of the dialogue that you would normally hear between two Marines. And we have our Spartan Ops episodes that we had with Halo Fan for Life. We go over those Red versus Blue Easter eggs. So if you want to know where those are, definitely check out those shows. And you can find out where those Easter eggs are and know what they're, what they say. So check it out. And by the way, the Revenants of Blue, this season is going to look really, it seems really, really mysterious. They're kind of taking the, I think, a little bit more serious route again for this season, which I kind of like that direction. Although, we were talking about this a little bit before the show, and Brent did pull out a pretty good point where they really started out as very comedic, and they've gone away from that in a sense, really looking for a more serious, more meaningful storyboard behind Red versus Blue. I think it's kind of based on your preference, though. I personally like it, that the fact that they're going in a more serious route.
Yeah, it's not that I dislike going the serious route. I mean, it's just, it's something I don't enjoy personally, because I enjoyed their comedy so much. You know, I mean, it's like, imagine your favorite comedian just decides all of a sudden they want to do, like, Law and Order style, you know, dramas. I mean, they're still the same actor, you know, they're the same person, but they're in a different role, and it's just not the same. They're not doing the thing that you like them for doing. I mean, originally I loved Red versus Blue because it was just so funny. I mean, especially because I was younger, you know, 14, 15, things were a lot funnier back then. But it was a funny show. I mean, Red versus Blue was hilarious. That internet PSA that I got hooked on from that copy of, I mean, the Electronic Gaming Monthly used to send out, like, the demo discs and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
All the different stuff. And on the demo disc, they had the Red versus Blue internet PSA. And I just thought that was the funniest thing ever. And that's what got me started in on Halo. I mean, if that PSA didn't exist, I probably would not be here on this podcast today. So I'm just saying that I enjoyed the comedy. I enjoyed the Red versus Blue style of...
And the PSAs haven't seemed to really be affected by it. It just seems like the main story is the thing that is really taking a serious turn, but it still has its comedic bits in there. And it's almost like you can't do the same thing over and over again.
And well, you can do comedy for years. I mean, Simpsons has been going on for like 25 years now. I mean, it's on its, you know, dying breath, but you can keep a comedy going a long, long time. I mean, you look at stuff like Family Guy, South Park, all of that. It's all, I mean, South Park just keeps getting funnier and funnier. It's not necessarily getting any less funny. I mean, you look at that early stuff, that was awful. I mean, compared to the stuff they got now. Now it's actually smart comedy, but it's not like they've run out of stuff to talk about. I would even posit that it's harder to write serious drama, like actual suspense and drama, than it is comedy.
I think once you get to a certain point, though, and especially with how long Red versus Blue has been going on, you need something to kind of tie that all together, which I think is why having some of the serious storyline is important. But that's just my preference, and I'm definitely no movie buff.
Oh, yeah, I'm not either. I'm not a movie buff. I'm more of a television buff. But I know people like Red versus Blue. They like the serious stuff. That's fine. That's just not for me. And I still love Red versus Blue. I mean, I love the franchise for, you know, what I enjoyed back in the early seasons. I mean, just because the new stuff is different doesn't make the early seasons, you know, less funny.
No. I'm not saying that does.
I mean, Rooster Teeth. I love Rooster Teeth as a company and all that. I mean, Red versus Blue or Rooster Teeth Expo is, you know, it's amazing. It's great. There's no better place for Halo fans out there as far as conventions go. And I've never even been to any other convention. I mean, RTX is it. Just from what people have told me, it's the premier Halo community kind of
convention. Oh, no, I kind of argue that a little bit.
No, I don't know. I couldn't speak to any of it. Like, I've always wanted to go to PAX. Well, I'm not going to speak bad on PAX because I've always wanted to go to Penny Arcade Expo.
Someday always. You will.
Oh, yeah.
Someday I'll get there.
I'll get there someday.
Someday, Brent. Someday.
If a man can dream, Dusty.
When pigs fly. Better start genetically engineering pigs. So, the next thing on the bulletin here is a little update from Mega Bloks. They have a new Oni Reap X set, which I personally am no big fan of. And I was actually talking to the Sartorius over from Ready Up Live, and it's just, they're really weird. It doesn't really seem to fit within the Halo realm. But this one actually does a little bit better of a job with kind of the whole idea that the Reap X line is supposed to be reverse engineering Forerunner and Covenant technology to adapt it to UNSC. And this kind of looks more like the I think it was the Locust from Halo Wars. Like the mini scarab type things. Do you remember what those are called?
Halo Wars.
I think it's the Locust.
I gotta get on that. That's my next job. Like, even before I play CE Anniversary, I need to play Halo Wars. And now that I've been playing a whole bunch of Civilization, I feel like... I know it's a completely different style of game, but I think I'm ready for some strategic action.
I am horrible at strategy games. I am horrible. And I still need achievements in that game. Chucky J is pretty good at it, though, so I might get him to help me out with that. But
So it's like basically the UNSC has adapted Covenant technology to form this new experimental vehicle,
yep.
Which is cool.
Yep, and it comes with for those people that are into the toys, it comes with a Covenant plasma turret, elite, gold elite, and then it has a Spartan with the incineration cannon. So it's pretty cool.
The rocket launcher is so much more iconic than the incineration cannon. I just don't like
for
the
Halo. I'm more a fan of rockets. I'm more fan of the kind of the traditional weapons for Halo. The Forerunner weapons were a good addition. It was good to see. It was nice to see the similarities, but it's weird adding that third class of weapons in there. Not to say that's a bad thing. It's
just different.
Weird and different. Yeah.
Out of all the Forerunner weapons, I probably like the scattershot the best because it's kind of like a Nerf gun. I mean, just the way it shoots these balls out. Just bounce around.
It's Nerf for nothing. But yeah. So next up is the Spartan Salt is actually on sale right now. So depending on when I get this out, you have either one or two more days to get Halo Spartan Assault at a discounted price. Right now, it is $199 on Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. On April 10th, Spartan Assault will be permanently priced at $499 across the Windows 8 platforms, and then $999 on Xbox One and Xbox 360. For those of you that didn't pre-buy it, on the Windows 8 platform, and then bought it at a discounted rate on the Xbox 360 or the Xbox One. And then, this has already happened, but on Friday of this last week, on April 4th, Spartan Assault launched on Steam. This is the first time we've seen Halo kind of go outside being distributed on an official Microsoft platform ever since Halo 2 Vista. Yep. So, this is pretty exciting news. This, again, is kind of the same thing where the possible speculation of having Halo 3 come to Steam going back to, I think, it was either last year or the year before where they had the Steam pages updated and there were entries in there for Halo 1, Halo 2, and Halo 3. And they're most likely just placeholders right now. But it does have people kind of thinking about the possibility of those games coming to the Steam platform.
Yeah, but then how can they release Halo 3 1 Anniversary?
Who knows, Brent? Who knows? Finally, on the bulletin before our lovely screenshots, is there's an interview with Hobo Itchy, the guy behind making the map for this week for the Ricochet Rebound. So if you want to get some more information on who he is, how he designed the map, some of the thought processes behind his creation process, then check it out. It's a pretty lengthy read. He gives some tips about how to play the game type and a few pointers on what you should try to do when playing the game. So definitely check it out. Again, we're going to try to see if we can get someone to play and download it for Wacky Wednesday and give it a try there as well. And finally, the screenshots. Getting to the end of the show here.
Ooh, that's my favorite part of the show.
I know.
Even though it's not really, but I enjoy this part. I mean, it may not be the favorite. You know, I mean, that changes
good.
From time to time.
It's good. This week's screenshot spotlight is going to be on grenades. So this is going to make some for some pretty good ones. Personally, I like Frag Out by Master Ape. Merry Xmas by Dot Hack Curios, I want to say is his name. And I would say White Flag by Draxonia, but I'm a little unsure about that one. And then Artifact by Divided Soul would kind of be my top picks.
I like White Flag by Draxonia, but I'm a big fan of contrast, so I'm kind of biased towards that. And that is very contrasted. Just a white Spartan with a... I mean, the people listening to this, unless they're actually looking at the bulletin right now, have no idea what we're talking about. We're just, like, saying names. But White Flag, I like it. It's, like, completely black background and then just a white Spartan and that purple, blue, you know, plasma grenade, which is cool. I like Panic Button for Bad Kids just because of all the grenades falling. yeah, that was pretty much the only ones I like. Impact is just kind of whatever. Just we've seen that effect before.
Yeah.
Breaking point. I don't understand. What are those like? What are the markers? Like respawn markers?
Where
like the green and yellow markers around the.
Those look like just swords.
Yeah, but they're different colors.
Yeah, I'm looking at that too. I'm not exactly sure.
Like, it's got to be some sort of marker. Like, you can't change the color of the weapons. It's got to be some sort of team marker.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure, to be perfectly honest. I'm guessing there's some forge piece that, whenever you set the color to it, it's probably that kind of color that's being reflected on it.
But Draxonia showed up twice. So good job.
Oh, wow, I didn't even notice that. That's right.
Yep. Gothic Lucy showed up again.
Very nice. So that wraps it up for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in, and sorry for the odd timing of this episode. It's been one hectic week for me with me moving, and it's going to be even more hectic when I get to unpack everything. But next week we will be in Boston for PAX East. We have some stuff lined up, trying to get a podcast done with some of the people that are there. Some Griftballers are going to be there as long as some of the other kind of Waypoint Citric people. I think a couple of Waypoint employees are going to be there as well. I'm not exactly sure who yet. I think Bravo and BS Angel may be there. Not sure who else from Waypoint's going, if anyone. But we are looking to do a podcast from Boston next week, and that'll be our next episode. We very unlikely will be doing an episode before Boston. If there's something big, we'll try to go ahead and do one. But if it's just a bulletin update, then we'll probably just wait until the Boston we can actually do another podcast. And I did buy some equipment for it, so I dropped quite a bit of money on getting a portable kind of like a recording equipment for things just like this for conventions. Being able to go out and get some audio done, get some audio recorded for interviews, and hopefully with how big this year is going to be for Halo, and if I can by some means get into E3, then this will definitely turn out to be very, very handy.
Pawtacular Media Division. I demand to get into E3 immediately.
I know, right?
press, Frankie. Pawtacular Media Division.
Kissing, man.
Pawtacular Media Division.
Look us up.
Got a question for you. Why are you bald? No, I'm joking. I don't.
I think I'll reserve that question for later.
Yeah. Seems like something he might want to keep to himself, you know.
I'm not going there. Anyways, but thank you guys again for checking us out. Really appreciate it. Remember to check out our website, podtacular.com, to stay up to date on all the podcasts we release and occasionally some news whenever I am not busy moving. Make sure you check us out on Wednesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's our fun customs night, as we mentioned before. And if you have anything that you like about the show, anything that you want to say or comment on anything that we said, feel free to drop us a line. You can do that by sending us an email to submissions@podtacular.com.
or use the big green button on our homepage that says submit your stuff, or you can call our listener voicemail at 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256, and leave a Halo message there for us to play on the show. Remember to check out our friends over at the Podcast Network. That is the podcast.com. Podcasts over there include the likes of Chris Cast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, and we've had them on the show before. Really cool guys over there. ReachCast, which is a PlanetSide 2 podcast. How to Kill Time, which is more of an independent gaming podcast. And Work in Progress, which is kind of a conglomerate of a few things and kind of ramblings of one particular person. So check out the podcast on the network. Really cool stuff going on. And make sure you check out our homepage again. And while you're there, if you want to help out the show, if you like what you hear and you want us to stick around, help us up by donating a little bit. It could be anything that you want to give. If you're not in the position to give, then listening and your support and emails is all that we ask for, and it just is good enough for us to know that people are listening and people really enjoy the content. But if you feel so inclined, we do have a donate button for you to go and help us out with things like hosting, covering conventions, and all that good stuff. So check it out. And I believe that's the final wrap. Thanks again, Brent, for being an excellent co-host.
And thank you, Dusty.
And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, keep on fragging. Oh my gosh, there's a lot of things to frag this week. Keep on fragging Siri. Yeah, keep on fragging Siri. Because we want Cortana.
Yeah, well, you don't have to frag GameStop or GameSpy anymore because they're dead. They're going away. You fragged them enough already.
They've been fragged.